We wasted that?
Oh, no.
We got to try this again. All right. Let us know in the chats, guy. Can you hear us? Don't.
Believe me, I got it. I was about to go there when I heard we had no sound.
Yes. All right. There we go. All right, guys. Did they not hear us at all from the beginning?
No, they didn't hear us from the beginning.
Well, guys, welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
Before we get started, please make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to our channel. We are 100% self-funded, no Illuminati, no lizard people. So your contributions go a very long way in helping us grow the channel and bringing you the news.
And before we go on and we start our show, once again, we'd like to introduce Mr. Roger Stone. A favorite of ours and an icon, legend, an legend. Icon, a legend.
That's very kind. We apologize for the false start when I did a prayer call for President Donald Trump the other night, which was amazing. I spoke, General Flynn spoke, President Trump spoke, and then Pastor Jackson Longmire offered a prayer. Trolls somehow invaded the platform, and the whole thing crashed after the first, I think, 18 minutes or so. So I'm not surprised that we had some NSA interference in our initial launch, which is why we had no sound. But now we're back and we're ready to talk about all things political. Last time I saw you was at President Trump's formal announcement of candidacy. A
beautiful night.
You were wearing an amazing dress. You looked amazing. It was like totally va-va-voom. I mean, it was just amazing.
The best.
A ladies' man.
Well, I'm a man who enjoys a good balcon. And
this is the third time he used this stuff, by the way.
In the whole night.
Guys, really quickly, we just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Century H2O. Century is a patron-owned business out of California, a water filtration system that both of us use. We actually have our Century Water right here.
I'm going anywhere about it.
And Century is, you can install it in under 20 minutes. It's going to filter out all of the toxic chemicals that are making people turn gay. No, I'm kidding. Not just turn gay, but also arsenic, sodium, chloride, everything that you do not want in your water.
You know, the biggest problem really is lead. In the water.
Let me explain why.
Because in most urban areas, the water systems are antiquated, but the Democrats who run the local government have refused to upgrade it because the only people in the inner cities who are getting it are, of course, minorities. Yeah. So who cares if the water is poisoned? Because of the old lead pipes, which none of these counties or cities have replaced with more modern plastic pipes, the water is toxic. If you are in a minority in this country, you're being slowly poisoned with the water. And the Democrats who control these cities, they don't care. It's one of the biggest hidden issues in the country, which is why you need this water filter, which will extract lead, among other things, from the water. They've started putting fluoride in the water in the 60s. The John Birch Society was among those who said this is not safe. It's not beneficial. We were told it would be better for our teeth. This is just another big pharma lie to sell a product and force it into virtually every public water system in the country. The lead levels in the water in the city of Miami are unacceptable, unless you're Black or Hispanic and poor, in which case nobody cares.
Yeah. We had this, Nelson gave us a little bit of insight. The owner of Century Water Systems gave us a little bit of insight on the Miami-Dade water filtration system. And he had some very scary things to say. We hope to have him on the show as a guest.
I think he was on my show.
I think you had him on your show. Yeah. I saw him on your show.
Yes. He's a good man. I'll tell you why. He has gone into East Palestine, Ohio, where the water and the air are really contaminated. To be honest with you, my only great-grandson, who's 3 years old, and his mother live about 5 miles from where the toxic spill and the uncontrolled burn of this vinyl chloride gas took place. Mm-hmm. Now, just to be clear, vinyl chloride was used in World War I on the enemy. That's how toxic it is. That's what we used it for. Yeah. I must tell you, the boy is 3 years old. He's had chronic diarrhea, a very high fever, and a rash just from breathing the air. He hasn't drank any water other than bottled water since before the time. But it rained afterwards. that allows the vinyl chloride from, or the ash from it, which is still toxic,
right,
to permeate into the soil. So here's my question. And the head of Joe Biden's EPA, when he's asked in a press conference, would you let your children drink the water here? He says, no, I wouldn't. But it's safe, folks. But it's safe fine
for everyone else.
Where is the president of the United States? Why did he not visit? But it is outrageous that the Environmental Protection Agency, I mean, they claim to be the party of the environmentalists, but because the people there are working class people, they're not elites. They don't care. They really don't care. People's homes have been ruined. People's lives have been ruined. We don't know the long term effects of this toxic spill. I'd like to know who, presumably the midget Republican governor of Ohio, who literally, I mean, I've had it up to here with this guy. he is so small. Evidently, he made the decision to burn this stuff, which, of course,
makes it more toxic.
And the wind is taken into upstate New York, taking it into parts of Pennsylvania. This is a toxic cloud.
We have no idea what the long-term repercussions
are. No, we don't. But who shows up to inspire the people, mm-hmm, and who shows up acting the way the president should act, giving inspiration and leadership and making giant contributions to water and other, assistance to the local community, is Donald Trump doing what Joe Biden should be doing. Joe Biden is busy, in a conference giving away billions more of our tax dollars when there's 370,000 homeless veterans in this country.
Yeah.
We had an interesting episode about that. And when we brought up Century, which, by the way, I didn't finish the last part of it, but for those of you who are considering the Century filtration system, not only does it remove the toxins, but it also remineralizes your water with calcium and things that you actually need.
I strongly endorse this water system.
Yeah. You had him on his show, and he's a great guy, and he's working really hard.
And they're doing really great things in Ohio, which, we don't know what the long-term repercussions are going to be of the incident in Ohio. And unfortunately, we live in times where the news cycle changes and the next big thing happens. Nelson has not forgotten. The family at Century H2O has not forgotten. They're out in Ohio still taking care of the residents out there.
It's disgraceful, but I think it's very important that people understand that this section of Ohio, Youngstown, and that area, this and Cleveland, these are Democratic strongholds where Donald Trump has made huge inroads.
These
people are not Republicans. No. These are blue collar Democrats.
Right.
And they believe in the Second Amendment. They go to church.
They're populist.
They don't like Bob. They don't. They are certainly cultural conservatives, and they love their country.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't care about them. And that's why they are important to Trump. Trump, for example, Trump's candidate, J.D. Vance, wins in Ohio big. Yeah. Yeah. Trump gets no credit for that. Oh, no, his candidate's lost. I'm sorry. That candidate, well, he knocked out an incumbent, which does not happen in politics.
You know who had an interesting tweet yesterday? It was Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, who's a total Trump hater. You guys know that we are not a fan of Mr. Shapiro.
Let me repeat the same joke. I've had it up to here with Ben Shapiro.
Also up to here with Ben Shapiro. So Shapiro goes on and says,
hey, Ben, stand up. Oh, sorry, you are standing up.
He was like talking smack about Trump and saying like, Trump is up in the polls because people forgot about the election and how all his candidates lost. I'm like, he had like a 95% turnover. Like most of the candidates he endorsed.
I don't think this, at this point in our country, I'm not even sure this is worth debating. I think we need to understand what's going on. Donald Trump is an existential threat to the established order.
Yes.
He's basically told them no. We're not having the new reset. No, we're not canceling the U.S. Constitution. No, we are not going to nuclear war over Ukraine. No, we are not going to rely on foreign countries for oil. So gas prices are out of sight. No, we're not going to settle for your food shortages. This inflation from your wild spending is unacceptable. No, we're not going to have a politicized judicial system. No, somebody needs to clean out the FBI and the CIA. Mm-hmm. So he is an existential threat to their financial plans. Big Pharma makes a lot of money out of COVID-19. War is really profitable for the defense contractor. So they have an interest in removing Donald Trump. they can pretend in one breath they say, oh, Trump, come on, he's old, he's tired, people are tired of his whole routine, he's isolated, he can't win again. Oh my God, we don't want to run against Donald Trump again. Right. Because he's beaten them not once, but twice, and they live in fear that he is on the cusp of doing it again. Let's be very clear. They are trying to take in New York what grows out of a business records charge and turn it into a campaign finance violation, completely bending the law, where we don't even know what really happened, other than Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels have both said in various forms under oath that no affair took place, consistent with what Trump says. Now, Michael Cohen changes his mind suddenly, having said it in a letter, having also said it in a defamation suit under oath, having told his own personal lawyer, whose privilege has been waived so he can tell us this, that that's not so. But now suddenly he's Alvin Bragg's biggest witness saying, oh, Trump, you know, paid this money. And they're trying to twist it into a campaign finance crime, which, even if accurate, which we challenge, would at best be a misdemeanor. But they're trying to bump it up to a felony to take out Donald Trump. It is a political hit with a tortured case. At least five previous federal prosecutors, including those in the Southern District, who are certainly not supporters or friends of Donald Trump, examined this case and decided not to bring charges because the case wasn't strong enough, given what we know. Now, today, a new letter surfaces in which Cohen basically told the Federal Election Commission that no, that this was not campaign related and he paid for it personally, which contradicts what he is saying today. So but we need to understand that in this case, Alvin Bragg is just an appendage of the deep state. He's just an errand boy. They're using a county prosecutor, and this is not the beginning. I guarantee you that Fannie Wills, the Soros-funded African-American prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia, who seems to be running the sloppiest ship I've ever seen because her grand jurors are out giving interviews about what they've recommended, outrageous. There's another charge coming there. These are politically motivated charges. They are part and parcel of a greater scheme to take down Donald Trump because he's a threat to their whole thing.
So for our followers, because somebody did ask earlier, they don't understand what they're trying to charge Donald Trump with. Because right now the story is that he's using campaign finances the funds from his campaign to pay her off.
Right. But he did not. But he clearly did not do that.
Right.
And Cohen said that he didn't do that. Uh-huh. And doing that actually would have been illegal. But that's not the case. He can't have it both ways. Had he done it that way, it would have been illegal. But they're trying to charge him because he didn't do it that way. They say that he was paid from personal funds. He denies the actual, relationship with Stormy Daniels. But I would say this, Trump is at the peak of his popularity because the American people see that this is a political hit job. He is pulled away from Ron DeSanctimonious in the polls. Ron DeSantis was at his strongest peak immediately after the election because he spent $50 million on paid media, including digital advertising in New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina and Georgia, as well as Florida.
Yeah.
Which is why, particularly, polls taken in Florida immediately after the election, matching Trump DeSantis, with DeSantis, DeSantis had a small lead. Mm-hmm. He just come off television. That has worn off. He's no longer in the halo of his victory.
Yeah.
If there was a Florida primary tomorrow, he would lose it. And he is dropped in the morning consult poll.
I think he's played
his hand very badly. Here's what I mean. Trump is under attack.
Yeah,
the Trump base is larger and more intense than the DeSantis base. In fact, the DeSantis base is mostly, not all, but mostly Trump people.
Right.
And therefore,
yeah, it used to be Trump.
And therefore, prior
small minority that.
Well, to his credit, so far, he has had the discipline to ignore Trump trying to flush him out and make him come into the arena. And he's now broken his discipline at the worst possible time. He would have been much smarter to keep his mouth shut. But instead, while Trump is under fire and other Republicans are rushing to defend him, Ron DeSantis basically says, I'm not getting involved in any of this. I got to put points in the board. I'm not sure what that means, points on the board. This is one of the lines that they fed him. And he goes so as far as to use it to recycle the basic charges, which is an attack on Trump. I don't know anything about making payments to a porn star, you know, who President Donald Trump may have raw dog.
He's actually appealing to the principled conservatives, because I've seen it on Twitter. We don't want any scandals. We want someone without baggage. We're tired of the Trump drama. So that's who he is. I mean, it's not us. I don't care. I think it's ridiculous.
Let me continue. I think he compounds his error now.
Okay.
Because not only not defending Trump, who he owes his governorship to, let's be clear. If Donald Trump had not endorsed Ron DeSantis for governor, Ron would be working at Dairy Queen right now. He'd be behind the counter, or he might work at McDonald's, and Trump would drive by and get some fries. He completely owns his governorship to Donald Trump. People understand ingratitude. They understand the history.
People are seeing it.
But not only does he not support him, he attacks Bragg, to his credit, as a Soros-funded prosecutor, but only so he can brag about firing a Soros-funded prosecutor here in Florida. So he's really doing it not to help Trump, but to help himself.
And then
he recycles the charges against Trump and says, I don't know. Now he makes it worse, and he gives an interview to Piers Morgan, where he questions Trump's moral character.
Yeah, of course.
Ron, you weren't questioning his moral character when he endorsed you in the primary and you rocketed ahead of Adam Putnam. You weren't questioning his moral character when he had to come back to Florida and change his schedule to come here in the last 2 weeks twice to drag your sorry ass across the finish line.
Because
you really can't speak on your feet. Yeah. You're completely programmed. A guy who wears earbuds to avoid human contact, that's not a person you want to be president.
I think that's descriptive of the bigger problem that we're seeing, where Ron DeSantis and himself is in the issue. It's what he's representative of, which is that the entire Uniparty is up against Trump right now.
Well, I think what you mean, Belle, is the people he's being used by.
Correct.
He's smart enough to know that he has to sound America first. And to say, I would have followed Fauci. Well, why didn't you fire your own health appointees who supported the mask mandates and the vaccination? Why didn't you fire them? And why did you appoint David Koerner, a mask Nazi, a man who put together a military style hit squad called the COVID-19 Compliance Task Force to go around terrorizing citizens, terrorizing business owners, setting up a snitch line?
Yeah.
So if you don't like the Rodriguez's who live across the street, you can make an anonymous call saying, "Hey, Rodriguez is not wearing mask." This is Nazi Germany, but Ron DeSantis just appointed him to have control of all of the data in the motor vehicles department, which gives him a backdoor data to all the voting data. He's a leftist Democrat snot, arrogant. Who endorsed Ron DeSantis weeks before the election. Now, why would a liberal Democrat endorse Ron DeSantis? Oh, 2 weeks later, he got an appointment from Ron DeSantis. Now, there are only two people who the grand jury could question who know what the deal was, but there was a deal there. And why would you have this guy who cost people their jobs, destroyed several hundred businesses? Why would you embrace him, but you would fire Fauci? Why'd you just hire this guy? Now, I like the Surgeon General, but he wasn't around in these days.
I have questions about him now. He just released a book, The Surgeon General, and the book, Chris Nelson was actually posting pictures of it. And the book is actually, in a way, kind of like trashing Trump, but in a very subtle way. There's like a passage that says that because the media hated Trump so much, when Trump started that thousands of lives would have been saved, millions of lives with hydrochloroquine, if it wasn't because Trump was pushing it and the media hated him. And therefore, it came against hydrochloroquine, and it's Trump's fault again. And that is the Surgeon General of Florida.
That's an absurd storyline. Yeah. Let's be very clear. I met a man the other day whose son was vaccinated and he died. The reason that the father gave his son the vaccination is because he saw Ron DeSantis on TV saying it was safe and effective and that people should get it. So he blames Ron DeSantis for the murder of his son. The idea that Ron's views were different than Trump is absolutely untrue. And in fact, when he tells you that he signed an executive order to the schools, he doesn't tell you that the three southern counties were allowed to do whatever the hell they wanted.
They were, absolutely. We fought against it every step of the way.
And after his order, the seven largest counties in Florida basically said, "Ungots." And the children were still required to wear masks for another 18 months.
Well, because he kept on signing the emergency order month after month.
If you run for president, we're going to read people the small print because you didn't do shit to Disney. That's all bullshit. Other than taking $1 million from them and setting them up so you have control of their taxing districts, you can extort more money from them. He tells us that he's going to stop the local school boards from having curriculum that includes critical race theory and other sex and gender lies. Well, I can tell you right now, in Broward County, the sixth largest school district in the United States, we have just adopted a Anti-Defamation League approved curriculum that is white hatred, that is racist against white people. Where's Ron? It doesn't matter. The election's over. So Ron is big on talk, but he really doesn't deliver.
It's all PR. Well, it's all smoke and mirrors. I call him the bare minimum because I really feel that what they've done is they've taken this PR strategy and they've just blown up the most basic, standard accomplishments that a politician. It's just such an easy cop-out. We were talking about the Hyatt Regency. This big boastful announcement about how he's shutting down and taking the liquor license from the Hyatt Regency because of the drag queen story hour. Linda went in, exposes that it's clearly they're still serving alcohol. There's still a license.
Look, I saw that. I understand that there is a process. Look, he's very good at picking a hot button issue, but I have to be honest with you. We're on the brink of World War III in Ukraine.
And you're fighting with drag queens. And we're fighting with drag queens.
That's not a fight. I'm more interested in the curriculum of the schools. I'm more interested in finding out what happens to the law that Ron DeSantis signed that does not prevent a person who died because they had remdesivir or put on a ventilator or were required to get the vaccination. They can't sue anybody because Ron DeSantis, who took millions from the hospital chains and other interests, gave them immunity, which will expire this June. Now, is he going to renew that law, which is really going to aggravate a lot of his big, big donors? Or is he going to say, if you die in the future from being given the COVID-19 vaccination, that you can sue under Florida law? He's trying to have it both ways, but this is going to be a crucial expression. This trying to rewrite his history on COVID is not going to work. He closed the restaurants. He closed the beaches. He left them open. He left them closed in some places. He abrogated his response.
He created the problem and then made himself the solution in so many circumstances. Problem. Here in Miami-Dade, for example, you know, month after month, the school board decided that they were going to continue to mask kids because Florida continued to remain under emergency order signed by him.
But I want to be very clear that when Governor DeSantis fired the Broward County Sheriff, Scott Israel, Israel sued and the courts ruled that the governor can fire any county employee, including school board members. So he had the power. When a school board defied him on masks, he could have fired them and appointed new people, maybe people out of the mother's organization. But he didn't do that because it was all for show.
It was all for show for the PR. I mean, he could have just stopped signing the emergency order month after month and truly made Florida free, but that wasn't the intention.
Although I think I wouldn't spend a lot of time on this, in the election integrity area, he's done nothing to clean up the voter rolls. Because he won big and because Republicans had a good year, it is a mistake to assume that the voter rolls are clean. Defend Florida took a subsample of 25,000 people who voted only by mail, not people who voted on election day or people who voted in early voting or people who voted by absentee. And then when they knocked on the doors, they found that 25% of them did not exist. They had died, they had moved, or it was a fake address, a undeveloped property or non-residential building. So Ron's response to this is to appoint a new government unit, an election crimes unit, which has 15 positions, all of whom are vacant because the man he appointed to head it, who is an Italian gentleman whose name escapes me at this moment, died of a heart attack. So it's all theater.
Yeah.
And what do? They go out and prosecute high profile, 20 black people who are felons.
Yeah,
felons, that was the most
felons who honestly thought that they did have the right to vote because they read.
Yes,
they did.
It was so embarrassing that he did that.
And he went. They didn't stop him from registering. So they say, "Oh well, I registered to vote. I must have my voting rights back." Yeah. It was an honest mistake. He doesn't go bust people who are ballot harvesting.
No, he
doesn't bust people in Miami who, folks, believe me, are going to the old folks' home and saying, "Here, sign here, Gertie." So, I mean, it's all so entirely phony.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, that's why we were trying to expose. There is a process with the Hyatt situation. But the thing is, he's done this before here in Miami. He did it last year to our house. So if you guys remember this week, I talked about it. Our house is another place in Wynwood. They have a weekly or a weekend drag show. And there was, I guess, a video that went viral and the kids were around.
See,
and
look, I want to be very clear. I'm in favor of people having drag shows for adults.
Yeah.
If adults want to go to a drag show, they have an absolute right.
And
there's nothing wrong with that. They have a constitutional right to do that.
Right.
But when you are using it to indoctrinate children, it's an entirely different issue.
Well, now we're seeing the reverse of it, where it's not just being used to indoctrinate children. It's being used to elevate a campaign. And it's almost like the right is now doing more to normalize the gender, if you will, gender ideology in children than the left is.
Before we get too lost in the weeds here, though, what Ron DeSantis does not understand is that he could never get to be president without Trump voters. And now he has a subset of voters who will never vote for him no matter what. So he needed.
That's us.
Even if he could somehow get by Donald Trump, let's say Donald Trump got hit by a bus tomorrow, just theoretically, not that we wish that on him. Ron DeSantis would still be a weak candidate because he betrayed Trump at the worst possible time. He then, I think, makes it worse, having changed his position on Ukraine to sound less of a Russophobe. He now, because his own donors go so crazy over his statement, because he sounds like who? Donald Trump on Ukraine.
Yeah.
That he now puts out a statement saying Putin should be charged with war crimes.
He reeled it back.
Well, exactly. Well, this was he had to kiss the asses of his giant globalist donors who love the war in Ukraine because it makes them money. And they're supporting the Ron who was in Congress for president. He has surrounded himself with bad actors. The other point I think we have to be clear about is I believe. Wasn't it Eve who told Adam to bite the apple?
Sure,
no. This is all being driven by his wife.
Yes.
Oh, we know.
Can we hold on a second, Roger? I just want to give a shout out to our super chats.
We should Adam, take a shot and name other super chats.
Adam, cheers to you. Thank you so much. He said greatness in the MPO house tonight, Mr. Stone.
I need more vodka.
You're most welcome, sir. It has been quite a treat watching Linda and Bella getting vindicated this week. Makes me more proud to be in the MPL and Cold 45. Blessings to you, ladies. Thank you
love
so
you,
much, Adam. Adam's
so much.
Always here. He keeps our lights on. Thank you so much.
Adam keeps the lights on.
Seriously.
Thank you, Adam.
Hablando como los locos, our favorite Latina ladies, Spanish. They have a great channel if you guys want Spanish content. Hi there. I'm late, but I really don't want to miss the show. Greetings to the legend, Mr. Roger Stone.
I love you, Roger.
Cheers.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to be here. Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
So,
and then we also have the last super chat doesn't say anything to Liz Thornton. I hope I said that right. Sorry,
Thornton.
With my Thornton.
Liz so, Thornton, thank you so much, Liz, for your support.
We appreciate you.
You guys,
and
we really appreciate it.
Here is the tea. This is why I wanted to bring Roger because I wanted him to tell you guys about who's driving the whole show.
Yeah,
Casey DeSantis.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I think she's pushing her husband into a race that is unwise for him. He's now, this was a very bad fumble. He maintains his discipline and never responds to Trump, who constantly tries to bait him, which is Trump style. I'm sorry. People say, oh, I don't like that Trump is going to continue to pummel him. It worked on Jeb. It worked on Marco.
Yeah.
It worked on Ted Cruz. And believe me, it'll work on this little turd as well. So, you need to have a certain size to be president. And he doesn't have it. This guy is either an introvert in an extrovert's business Or he's on the spectrum, or he's on the spectrum because he's a very odd fellow.
Yes. I met him before.
And he does extremely well in small scripted situations where he controls a microphone. But you cannot run for president without giving interviews to people who might ask you hostile questions. Right. It is
definitely not against Donald Trump.
And then you have this whole really is a sideshow on social media where he has all these influencers and Trump has all of his supporters and so on. And it's a great clash. But it's not having the kind of impact that Ron just made in this series of mistakes. So he kicks Trump when he's down, enormous mistake. He compounds it by making it more personal. I have problems with his moral character. And, you know, the people that I support the agenda. Really? You mean like David Kerner, like guys like that who support your agenda? Please give me a break. He's trying to rewrite his history on COVID. He has not kept his pledge to keep CRT out of the public schools. The drag queen stuff, you know, I think is a sideshow.
It's low-hanging fruit. It's such an easy part of the culture war to attack while ignoring all the real issues.
So here's some interesting shit that you will really like. So I've now gotten two letters from Hunter Biden's lawyers.
What?
And Hunter Biden's lawyers are threatening to sue me. In their first letter, they say, we're ordering you to preserve all of your documents pertaining to Hunter Biden's laptop. Well, that would be no documents at all, because everything I know, I read either in the New York Post or at MarcoPoloUSA.org, the Marco Polo Foundation, which if you haven't gone there to get Hunter's whole treasure trove, I mean, it's not, you have to be an adult to see it, but it really is quite
somebody,
amazing.
Somebody, I think, posted it on Twitter this week, Dom Lucre.
It's a whole lot of stuff.
It's very well done. It's footnoted. It's laid out. I have every reason to believe that it was acquired completely legally. So I don't have any documents to save. But then a second letter, they ordered me on the Stone Zone, where I have a show every day at 5 o'clock, StoneZone.live. Check it out, StoneZone.live, 5 o'clock. I interviewed Garrett Ziegler, the head of the Marco Polo Foundation. I interviewed Tyler Nixon, who was an attorney of mine who grew up in Delaware, knew Hunter, knew Bo, knew about their propensity for drug use. And they went out of their minds saying that if I continue talking about this, if I don't apologize by March 31st, they're going to sue me. What are the chances do you think that I'm going to apologize?
We're going to go ahead and say zero.
Zero. There's not a chance.
Put my money on
now,
zero.
Here's why. There's a crazy person, a guy named Kevin. I got to come up with his name. I'll tell you in a second. Kevin Morris, who is a Hollywood producer, screenwriter, lawyer. He gave Hunter Biden $2 million to pay his taxes. He's come up with this crazy Unabomber theory with a handwritten chart and everything that has me and my lawyer, Tyler Nixon, and a psychiatrist that I know named Keith Alblow, who evidently attended Hunter at some point, that we had the laptop material and we gave it to the, it's bullshit is what it is. So if they want to sue me, that's fine. I'll have to go raise the money at stonedefensefund.com to fight these MFers. Additionally, I will countersue this guy, Morris, who's running around telling people, media outlets, that Stone was involved in illegal activity by which these documents became public. I don't know how they came up public.
Why do they fear you so much, Roger?
It's a giant mistake to pick a fight with me, because I will personally cross-examine Hunter Biden myself about every page in his all of the evidence of corruption, all of the evidence of treason, all of the evidence of influence peddling, all the evidence of bribery. I'm really not that interested in his sex tapes or his drug use. Those things don't interest me. I want to know whether the government of the United States, if the Biden administration has been purchased by the Chinese, because it sure as hell looks like it has. And when Congressman Comer and his committee investigating this turns up Treasury Department records that showed that Chinese money went to four members of the Biden family: Hunter, Jim Biden, his brother, his daughter, and another person named Biden, the Treasury Department. Who could that be? Another person named Biden. Who might that be? Talk about cover up. Can you say cover up, please?
That's crazy.
And when he's asked about it, Joe Biden says, that's not true. Well, I'd like to hear him say that under oath. In a formal investigation.
So what are the chances they're going to sue you?
Everything.
It would. I have no idea. First of all, if they sue me, I immediately countersue them for defamation. Right. Secondarily, they don't have a legitimate suit. He's a public figure under New York Times versus Sullivan. I've read this material. My access to it is entirely legal. I'm entitled to comment on it. It's a stupid lawsuit. Abby Lowell, the lawyer who's suing me, I actually know him personally. He's very, very expensive. He's very high powered. He's very tough, but he has no case. He has to understand that if he sues me, I will ask the court for sanctions and I will ask the bar for discipline because there is no case. I know nothing about this. And there is no evidence other than this crazy Unabomber diagram that this Los Angeles Hollywood nut job has sent out to a dozen different reporters.
They just assume that one of the greatest has to be behind it. It's like, it's got to be the case that Roger Stone is behind it.
Look who's here. Really, really quickly, we did get the news today that I think constitutional carry is not going to happen anymore. And here we have Oscar. Thank you so much for your super chat. He says, FBL Next Era still implements vaccine mandates for new hires in the state of Florida, as well as ESG and DEI. Today, constitutional carry was wiped out because DeSantis failed to include open carry. So I think our bill that was supposed to give us constitutional carry just failed, and we're not going to have it this legislature.
And for you guys that are, the constitutional carry was supposed to be a way of shutting us up about the red flag laws that exist here in Florida, just as they do in blue states, which are unheard of.
Ron DeSantis is supported red flag laws. Ron DeSantis did a kabuki act to pretend like he was for open carry or pretend like he was for constitutional carry when he's really not for either one.
For either or, right.
But if he's got the votes to repeal the law that that prevents him from remaining as governor to run for president, then he has the votes to do this. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't have the votes for constitutional carry, how could he have the votes to repeal the law? By the way, it'll be unanimous. There's not a single Florida Republican who will stand up to him. So today you have a state law that specifically says that if the terms overlap, he would have to resign as governor to run for president. Rick Scott did not have to resign as governor to run for the U.S. Senate because his term as governor ended and then the term as senator began. That would not be the case of Ron DeRino. So if he runs, then he would leave the governorship 2 years early if were he to win, and therefore the terms overlap. Like a lapdog, the legislature will repeal this on the final days of the session. That is the last step.
I think they're going
to
give it to him.
Oh, they definitely.
The legislature is on his side completely.
Well, it's not there on his side. They're
but they Unit Party. They're against Trump.
But they fear him. They fear him. They fear.
You think they fear DeSantis or Trump?
He's a governor, and he's notably vindictive. First of all, find me a Republican state legislature who hasn't taken thousands of dollars from Disney. Mm-hmm. So they're already saying, Ron, you got to take it easy on Disney. What are you doing? You got to go make a deal with him. Well, he did. I mean, Tallahassee is one of the most corrupt places in the country. And money talks and bullshit walks. It's not that they love Ron DeSantis. It's that he's vindictive and they fear him.
His wife is vindictive.
Well, I think that is entirely true. But look, I think before this is over, the sweet, lovable newscaster image that she portrays will get exposed as fraudulent because I think there's video out there of the real Casey, the real Jill. Well, we'll see. I think that both of them are famously abusive to staff.
Yes, I heard that.
And the way they act when the camera's on is
different. They're very high maintenance.
Yeah. Well, I think they're very, very controlling. But I think the more people see of DeSantis, the less they will like. Now, the DeSantis' super PAC just hired this guy, Jeff Rowe. You remember him?
No.
He's the guy who sent out a text message to every voter in Iowa the night before the caucuses saying that Ben Carson had dropped out. But Ben Carson hadn't dropped out when he was working for Ted Cruz. This is the guy that Ron DeSantis has just hired. And they call me a dirty trickster. What do you call that? What do you call it? I would never do that.
Roger, what's your take? So I'm not sure. SB 1316, which is the bill that would require bloggers to register with the state if they're compensated and speaking about the governor or somebody else in an elected office. We were actually informed by a source within one of the legislators' office that this bill is actually being pushed by Ron DeSantis, but being pushed onto the legislators so he can keep his hands clean in the process and say he has nothing to do with that. What's your take on that?
First of all, if the law passed, it would merely expose, what's that guy, John Cardildo, and the rest of these.
Is he an individual blogger, though, or is he with a media company?
No, he's an individual blogger.
Okay, so it would expose him. But it wouldn't expose the Florida standards.
But if you're not being paid to do it, then I don't think you'd have to register. I think the whole thing's unconstitutional.
It is.
But it's also, look, he also says you can't demonstrate in public against public officials, which is another. So he doesn't like free speech.
He doesn't like free
speech. No, he's not reporting for free speech at all. Oscar brought up a really good point, which is the point about FPL, which nobody is talking about. FPL was a mega donor to Ron DeSantis's campaign. Yeah. And it is true that there is an overwhelming amount of noise from employees of FPL or former employees of FPL that can attest to the fact that they are, in fact, still mandating testing and still requiring that employees either be vaccinated as a condition of employment. And one has to wonder, you know, for somebody that acts as if though they're striking down the iron fist when it comes to this one issue and one that they're using to weaponize against Donald Trump so fiercely, why is it that here is this mega donor company of yours can get away with this in the state of Florida called the Florida Power and Light Company?
But see, but that's what a campaign is about. So in a campaign, the real Ron DeSantis and his real wife will get exposed. His real record will get exposed. Which is happening every day. Why is he dropping in the polls? Because Donald Trump is a slugger. Donald Trump is a pugilist. Donald Trump is fearless. And you do need to remember the history. All 67 Republican county chairmen had endorsed Adam Putnam. Every single Republican state legislator, including the Speaker and the Senate President, had endorsed Adam Putnam. Every congressman, except for Matt Gaetz, every Republican congressman had endorsed Ron DeSantis. Matt Gaetz elected Ron DeSantis. It is Matt Gaetz who persuaded President Donald Trump to endorse Ron DeSantis. It is Matt Gaetz. I elected Ronald Reagan. I elected Donald Trump. Matt Gaetz elected Ron DeSantis governor.
Yeah. Yikes. I don't want that attached to my name.
No, seriously.
Roger, do you think that there was
I think it is despicable after everything Matt Gaetz did to help Ron DeSantis, the way DeSantis turned on him when he was fighting for his life. I think it is despicable.
Do you think that there was any kind of strategy from Trump and his camp in releasing the announcement that they had gotten the leak that there was going to be the indictment? Do you think that him speaking about it was some kind of strategy? And if so, do you think that it was a strategy to avoid the arrest from happening or to maybe bring DeSantis and the turncoats out of their...
I mean, it's a mistake to think that Donald Trump is always plotting, because that's not necessarily the case. So Trump just does things naturally, and
on instinct.
And again, he's never been formally informed by any lawyer, nor have his lawyers been informed that he's going to be charged. So this is all leaks from the state and federal government, and he's reacting to the leaks. It has, I think, very effectively gotten his base galvanized and maximized. He's pulling away from Ron DeSantis in the polls. Yeah. DeSantis is in free fall as he fumbles through a series of mistakes. Mistake number one is attacking Donald Trump and saying he's not getting involved. Mistake number two, doubling down with in this interview with Piers Morgan, attacking the man who made him again. And then successfully, I think, convincing people that he's skeptical of the war in Ukraine. Then he screws that up by saying, oh, but Putin should be charged with war crimes to kiss the asses of his big globalist donors who love the war in Ukraine. So I don't think he's handled this well. I think he comes out a loser. Trump will get strength with every indictment.
Every single time.
It's still not clear whether either an action against him in New York or Georgia could get to trial before the election. But this I can tell you, if they move against him on January 6th or in some connection with documents, in both cases where I think he's done nothing wrong, he's not going to get to trial nor be convicted before the election.
Right.
And there's nothing there, that, since he hasn't been convicted of any crime, that prevents him from being a candidate for president. And no, he will never drop out. He is a fighter. He is a warrior. And actually, I think that he's made it very clear that he is the best man to win to end the war in Ukraine. Look, he's the guy who cut off the Russian pipeline. He is the guy who sold the offensive missiles to the Ukrainians. He's the guy who made a Middle Eastern peace deal that said couldn't be made.
Yeah.
He's a guy that brought the little rocket man in out of the cold and got him to at least temporarily suspend his nuclear development program. The Chinese did not move on Taiwan because they feared Donald Trump. Putin did not move on you. Did not move
Biden
on you.
Did no not, one. That's why there's like no a one, joke, yeah, joke going yeah. on. Quick break, guys. Just want to give a shout out really quickly to our super chat, Stacey Velarde. Thank you so much. And we have your bottle right here.
Oh, thank you, Stacey.
Thank you, Stacey. Also, we have someone new, Run Faster with a Knife. Good evening, MPLs and Mr. Roger Stone. Looking great as always, ladies and gents. Thank you so much for your contribution. And we want to introduce our guest, who was a little late because he was on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
So Sal, if you want to tell our followers.
Thank you, Sal, for joining us.
So maybe I should, let me do this introduction.
Yeah,
okay,
please.
This is Salvatore Greco. He is a proud son of Staten Island, New York. He has a 14-year record of unblemished service to the people of New York City, where he served as a New York City police officer in some of the most dangerous and undesirable precincts in the city. He was fired by the woke New York City Police Department solely because he is a friend of mine. He has no involvement, nor do I, with anything that happened on January 6th. We were in Washington on the 5th and 6th. We never left the hotel. No, he is not a Proud Boy. No, he is not an Oath Keeper. Actually, has he came in contact with them, which proves nothing whatsoever. Okay. He's lost his pension. He's lost his life savings fighting this in a federal lawsuit. But the rule that he was fired under says that he cannot associate with people who are or may be or in the past committed crimes. Yet last week, Cardi B, convicted gang member, who, by the way, had her posse beat the crap out of some guy in Miami 2 days ago. She is speaking at the police academy with the commissioner and all of the New York City police brass. So different rules if you're a liberal Democrat. And when Eric Adams, the mayor, is asked about this, he says, well, we don't discard people. Then why have they discarded this man?
Well, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. We know it's been like the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of the culture wars and the political sphere. So we appreciate you taking the time to come
on. So how was Tucker Carlson?
Tucker went pretty well. It got a lot of reviews so far. The phone's been blowing up, Twitter, Instagram, all of that. It's pretty sound. It looks pretty good.
Are you countersuing? What's the situation with your case right now?
So I ended up having to sue the police department because, like Roger said, they terminated me. They used this rule that's been around for 40 or 50 years in the police department where you cannot wrongfully or knowingly associate with someone who is reasonably believed to have been engaged in or engaged in criminal activity. I know it's a little long there. There's no exceptions to that rule. Their argument is Roger falls into, this.
But here's the problem. So Mayor Eric Adams, who was a New York police captain, says in his book that he provided private security for the Reverend Louis Farrakhan and Mike Tyson, correct, both of them convicted felons. And he gets blown up under the same rule. He goes through the same administrative trial. But in his case, they take off 15 vacation days. But in his case, they terminate him. They ruin his life. They take away the job he loves, and they take away his pension. Why are they not treated equally? So police officers can consort with Cardi B, but they're not brought up on charges. The mayor can consort with lots of felons when he was a police captain, and he gets 15 days, and this man's life is ruined. It is the two-tier justice system yet again.
So how has it kind of changed your life, right? You have this entire career. You've dedicated your life to your police officer, man of honor, and to have we've been victims of political persecution too, so we understand the repercussions that come with it. How has that changed kind of, your day-to-day and how you see your future now?
I think my life changed actually right around the time that 29 heavily armed federal agents showed up to Roger's house. Since that moment, I think it's been a complete turnaround in my life. It slowly turned around while I was in the police department. It continued. Of course, I went to Roger's trial. I was there for sentencing. I was there after he was commuted. I'm close friends with Roger.
I mean, the irony here is that they accuse him of providing uncompensated security to me. What does that mean? It's not even a term.
Is that a problem?
There's no such wording in the code book for the police department. It's a made up term. I've never paid him a penny.
He's my friend. Too? Don't you have a presidential pardon?
I do, but that doesn't count. I'm not as cool as Cardi B, obviously. Although I'm a much better dancer, in all honesty.
Yeah. So I mean, I didn't expect this to happen. I mean, I had an unblemished record in New York City Police Department. I mean, I made all those arrests. I mean, I was, for all intents and purposes, as far as a proactive police officer goes, I would be the model. I don't have any CCRB complaints. There's nothing nefarious or negative on my record.
And neither one of us have any involvement on January 6th. So any claim or insinuation to the contrary, based on the guilt by association campaign by the mainstream media. Oh, you met a Proud Boy. So what? That proves what? What do you got? Oh, you came in contact with the Oath Keepers. I couldn't find anybody to provide private security. I had a voluntary security detail. I've testified about this. So
and in fairness, the Proud Boys have provided voluntary security to just about every MAGA supporter during the Stop the Steal rallies of November and December without anybody having to ask, because there were situations where an aggravated BLM crowd, Antifa crowd, was out there attacking patriots. So realistically, I remember being in circumstances where we were surrounded by Proud Boys in an effort to protect MAGA people that were maybe left defenseless, and it's not something that we inquired on or asked for that help.
It was what they wanted to do.
That they took on themselves.
It's just a smear, and to see
defamatory.
To see this kind of victimization. By the way, you can help Sal Greco, who has to pay lawyers for this website, by going to helplessnycop.com. Helplessnycop.com. It's expensive, but he's got an extraordinarily strong federal lawsuit, which the judge allowed him to amend to add the active involvement of Cardi B, which shows the hypocrisy of their position.
And there's also a little bit more to this lawsuit, as we are finding out. As this case goes on, you find that there's more corruption in the case. So we know that they said that, obviously, I'm associated with Roger, and they did all these nefarious things. But along the way, after the first interrogation, which their only witness to anything said I was not involved in anything illegal at the Capitol. They then went to access sealed records of someone, which is illegal. There's
several people, we think.
Mm-hmm. Several people that we know of.
They may have illegally accessed my records, which are sealed. They may have actively released the records of Kristen Davis, who works with me. But they made false representations in their warrants, claiming that this was a criminal investigation, and implying that Sal was somehow, that this was a narcotics investigation. There's no allegation of narcotics. They didn't dole test him. What happened is when this corrupt officer, whose name is Ornstein, who will soon not be at the NYPD, or he's going to be ready to write him a check for several million dollars, got turned down by the phone company and the social media companies in his fake warrants, because they don't involve a crime, they involve an administrative process, he resubmitted them claiming it was a narcotics investigation, which was a lie. Ornstein must burn for this. He has broken the law. He has a long history of doing this. Is a guy who answered a 9/11 call at the wrong house and assaulted two people in their home who were the wrong people.
Wow. So is your ultimate goal to get back into the force, or do you feel like you have another path that's being paved for yourself now? Like, it's maybe politics in your future?
Quite possibly, but I'm thinking more with this. I just want justice to be served. I want my name back, my reputation. I lost everything. I lost my job, my savings, my pension. I've lost friends. I lost loved ones. I lost my father in the middle of this. Okay. I've lost almost everything, but the only thing I haven't lost is my faith. And that my faith is what pushes me forward with all of this. Because without your faith and without hope, you don't have anything.
I think it's very important to understand that without a good a good conduct letter, he can't come now work in Florida where he lives today as a police officer.
Right.
He can't be hired because he needs a clean bill of health from NYPD. So they need to give him his status back so he can be hired if he wants to do law enforcement in another jurisdiction. And they need to restore his pension. And I think they have to pay for damages. They put this man through hell.
I think it says a lot about Roger's loyalty as well as a friend, right? Like, here he is. He's not going to let you go down alone over this. So,
well, he came to my department trial. Yeah. He actually came there.
Which they did. They hated me. When I walked in, it was like Satan himself had walked in. These people are, I mean, it's like holding a cross up to a demon. They just go, they start.
Texted me today and they're like, everybody's scared of Stone because he knows where the bodies are buried.
Here's one thing about my trial, right? There was one part that was, you mentioned the pardon, right? They actually had a letter from the DOJ, which one of their attorneys there interpreted, saying that Roger's pardon doesn't expunge the fact that he's still convicted on the books.
So basically they're saying Stone is still a convicted felon, but the regulation doesn't say anything about convicted felons. It just says people who have reasonably
or likely.
So in other words, Mike Tyson, Louis Farrakhan, Cardi B. I mean, why is he being held to a completely different standard? And they had to cheat to do it. So they illegally bring up sealed documents, which the New York courts frown upon. They violate a court order telling them specifically not to do that. I think two court orders.
Mm-hmm.
And then additionally, they falsify this as a criminal investigation for narcotics when Ornstein, soon to be former officer Ornstein, because he's going to be sued personally and as a New York police officer. That's the outgrowth of this case.
Interesting.
I mean, this guy is an Alvin Bragg wannabe.
Yeah, it was pretty outrageous. I mean, the trial was outrageous. The questions were outrageous. And then,
what did they ask you?
They asked me a silly question, like something about something Roger posted where he had referenced Jilly Rizzo, and that are you saying that you're his bodyguard because Jilly Rizzo was Frank Sinatra's bodyguard?
Which is incorrect. Yeah. Anybody can go look it up. Jilly Rizzo was Frank Sinatra's friend. No. Jilly Rizzo was a famous saloon keeper. And he was a big lug of a guy. He was a tough guy, and he hung out with Frank Sinatra. He was Frank's friend. He was not his bodyguard. Yeah. If they just go to Wikipedia, they would know that. But still, they're saying, oh, when Stone compared his friend Greco to Jilly Rizzo, he was saying that Greco is his bodyguard. Okay. He's not saying anything of the kind.
Do you think that you were the ultimate target of that attack, Roger? Was it a
no, but I think that because I was gagged during my trial and because the mainstream media has had such an opportunity to shit on me as a Russian traitor and Russian, which is all nonsense. I mean, the government never produces any evidence that ties me to WikiLeaks, a collaboration, mm-hmm. or Russian intelligence or Russian election interference. It's a hoax.
That's really what it is. It's
Because there's smear campaigns. Yeah. They had to discredit Roger in any capacity that they could.
And I'm clickbait. So, correct. You know, there's a lot of lunatics out there who don't love me, but to hell with them. If you don't love Roger Stone, you're not a real American.
Yeah.
That's a fact. All right, little break.
I have a water.
Stone, welcome back. Thank you for coming.
We'll take this one in name of the last super chats that we've got. Eric Triple writes, trying to get on Roger's best dress list. You heard? All right, let's take this.
Now, I understand somebody brought me a present.
Oh. So we had somebody come in. Like, of course, they come to drop this off, right? Somebody's hoping that you're going to have your Elon Musk moment while you're on Mostly Peaceful Latinas tonight.
Is it true?
I don't know. You guys are going to have to tell us in the chat whether or not Roger Stone is going to have his Elon Musk moment. On the Mostly Peaceful Latinas podcast tonight.
But it's because
tonight.
Bill Maher's doing it now.
Right. So I guess here's my answer. This, by the way, this smells really good.
Ooh.
God's lettuce, as we call it. the point here, I think, is that I'm not going to smoke tonight, but I will smoke on the air when I'm able to smoke with Bill Maher. I mean, Bill Maher, I was on his show 3 times. He accused me of being a Russian traitor. Now he himself admits that the Russian collusion thing was a hoax. He needs to do the right thing and invite me on his new podcast, and we can fire one up and I can put him away.
Legendary. When was the last time that you were on Bill Maher?
It has to be several years ago.
So it's time.
It's, you know, and we did a giant birthday cake. I mean, look, people know that I'm an advocate for a cannabis legalization. And I have been for 30 years, particularly because for medicinal use, because I think it is much safer and more effective, for particularly for PTSD, by the way, than opioids. We have medicinal marijuana here in Florida. It's a very bad system. It makes access to cannabis for medical reasons as difficult and as expensive as possible. But if it weren't for John Morgan, a Democrat, we wouldn't have it at all. So my hat is still off to him for putting his money where his mouth is. Yeah. I would love to do this.
Not, we need Bill Maher.
Not today. We're not Bill Maher.
You guys got to go pressure Bill Maher.
Let's just start applying pressure in the chat. We don't know where this might go.
Although I am going to have to now confiscate this. <so.
laughs> We're going with you after. We're sharing. Guys, if you have any questions for Roger in the chat, please use the super chat. Let us know so that we can answer them. I want to go back to some DeSantis stuff and kind of where it is.
We have questions.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed as far as like narratives, like that are building online or whatnot, there's so many people. What do you have to say to the people that say that this is just divisive? There's no need to criticize Ron DeSantis. He's going to have his shot in 2028.
Well, because he's not running in 2028. He's running now. They're absolutely right. It is divisive. Why is Ron DeSantis dividing the party?
That's what I said.
His wife, Jill, by the way, you should always refer to her by her real name, Jill. He and Jill have been planning this campaign for 7 months. It is treacherous because he owes everything he has to Donald Trump. But unlike Donald Trump, he's not interesting. He's not clever. He's not smart on his feet. He's very good when he's programmed. Go back and watch his two debates with Mayor Gillum. Gillum took him to the cleaners both times.
Yeah. Even Charlie Crist held his own.
Charlie Crist, who had the weakest hand you could have. Charlie Crist, who goes from being the most pro-gun governor in Florida history to saying, let's confiscate everybody's gun. Charlie Crist, who says, I'm a champion for the right to life. Let's abort babies, as soon as possible. He's got the weakest hand. And he still nails DeSantis for closing the state down on COVID-19. I thought Charlie did extraordinarily well.
The key point of that debate was actually when he asked him, would you see your four-year term?
And he was like this.
And he was just – I would have thought he would have been prepared for that kind of question.
Right. Frozen like a deer in the headlights. Yeah. It was embarrassing. You know Jill was backstage stomping her foot. She must have been furious.
The head was bobbing.
How could he not know that question was coming? And in all honesty, nobody wears full-length gloves when it's 85 degrees.
In Florida.
When it's 85 degrees. So, Jill, you're not Jackie O.
You're not. Yeah,
give it up.
You're not Melania. You're not going to be Melania Trump. You're not at that level.
You're not even Nancy Reagan. So don't go there. No.
It's ridiculous. She almost dresses like a Disney princess. And I know. And here's the thing.
It's part of the marketing strategy.
It is.
He's going to have unlimited cash. But the fact is that he wanted to cut Social Security and he wanted to cut Medicaid and he wanted to change the retirement age of 70. Every voter in Iowa will know that. Every voter in New Hampshire will know that. Every voter in South Carolina. Now, when he says, I've changed my mind, they say, well, that doesn't count because we don't trust you. Did you change your mind after you talked to Jeb Bush or after you talked to Paul Ryan or after you talked to Meghan McCain? Or are these the new instructions you got from Soros? I mean, this guy cannot be trusted. He's already proven that he's a weasel.
What do you think is going to be the Achilles heel for him? Like, what's really going to be what takes out Ron DeSantis? Is it going to be the opposing Donald Trump?
I just don't think he has the talent level. He can't think on his feet. He's not likable. And he's getting into a cage match with the all-time championing brawler of all time.
Fighter. Right. Like a street fighter. So real quick, this week when he was asked that question about, what was it, the Donald Trump situation, it was a preempt question. It was a question that came from the Florida Standard that we've already exposed, owned by Will Witt, and it was purposely done because they had already funded by
It's a planted question. And he read the answer exactly the way his Ukrainian handler wrote it. And Jill approved it. Because Ron has, there's not much here.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
There's not much there.
tell Joe and Pusha.
I just want to know, is he Ron DeSantis? Have you ever seen his heels that he wears?
Oh my God.
Oh, the tiny heels. Elevated heels.
Yeah. Well, actually, the whole shoes, he wears elevator shoes. So it's not just a heel, but the sole is also, so just to make him look taller. He's not tall.
He's got a few.
How many? What's his height? How tall is he? How much taller is Donald Trump? Like, how alpha would Donald Trump be?
I was a little taller than DeSantis,
and you're like Amazonian.
Imagine,
yeah.
And Trump is taller than me.
I bet Trump liked your dress too.
He probably did. He's told me before.
He's before.
I know my man.
Many such cases. The other question that we had for both of you, actually, it was the what did you just ask right now? I think I'm a little drunk.
I'm on my third shot. We should take another shot. No, why
we'll
not?
Take another shot. We'll take another shot. There was something else that I wanted to ask.
Oh, we're going to go over the points that people are making.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing.
We want to play a little game here.
you hear a lot, especially from pundits, Matt Walsh and all these people.
The same tired talking points.
The same tired talking
out of every single pundit.
Well, those are the ones that the Ukrainian princess is circulating. Right. Here's what you're supposed to say today.
So they're basically
most of them are paid. So
why would you vote for Donald Trump when he handed the country over to Fauci, which we know that's not true, when he pushed the vaccine? That did happen, and when he hired the worst people to work with him. So those are the three main talking points.
Right, and here's the proper answer. Why would you hand over the country to a man who pushed the vaccine, whose own public appointees pushed the vaccine? What was your final point?
That it was that, and then the people that he chose,
you mean like David Koerner, the vax Nazi you appointed, or even worse, how about the sheriff of Broward County, murderer, drug dealer, Tony Gregory, appointed by Ron DeSantis. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, he's not a savior for the vaccine cause. And, you know, an argument that we talk about time and time again, both Linda and I were involved in like anti-vaccine causes prior to 2020, when it becomes this huge hoopla and people all of a sudden become these single issue voters when it comes to the vaccine topic. And the truth of the matter is that Donald Trump has always made it such an emphasis to say that it's
your choice.
Each individual.
It's your choice.
And those individuals that have fought for medical freedoms have always fought for exactly that.
Again, the records of DeSantis and Trump on the vaccination are essentially the same. Both advocate.
The same.
So when Ron DeSantis asks the state Supreme Court to convene a grand jury to determine whether those who pushed the vaccination in terms of its effectiveness and its safety misled the people of Florida, the first person that grand jury should charge is Ron DeSantis, because nobody pushed it harder. Sorry, we have the videos. So that's not going to work if he thinks that is the great wedge issue to beat Donald Trump. Right. Now, I happen to think I'm anti-vaccination. I happen to think they're both wrong. But Trump made it clear that it should be voluntary.
Yeah.
He was never for mandatory vaccinations. That's not the defining issue. Ron's waffling on the war in Ukraine, where I don't think we should send another dollar.
No,
I think that is a more important issue.
A more important issue.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, that's not going to work. Every question they ask about Trump can be asked about this guy.
Yeah.
You're criticizing Anthony Fauci? You just appointed David Koerner. Much worse. More odious piece of human garbage. Please see a video of Koerner talking to people in county, talking down to people in county. He's an odious piece of human garbage.
Just so people know who that is, because I know we have followers that are not Floridians. That was the mayor of Palm Beach.
Right. He is a left-wing Democrat.
Right.
He appointed the COVID-19 vaccination task force, a uniform Gestapo type unit.
Yeah.
He said the governor approved all their activities. They went around stomping on citizens, business owners, and so on. So that's who Ron. Ron DeSantis appointed him after the election in a shady deal. You endorse me for governor in Palm Beach to help me carry it, and I'll appoint you to a powerful job. They should both be charged.
Right.
But neither one of them, since the two of them know what the deal was, they had a deal.
So
Koerner belongs in prison. He made a deal for a state job. He traded his endorsement for an appointment, and Ron made the deal. They're both chargeable prove it.
It's going off. So just so you guys know, in case anyone's confused, the man that he's talking about, who was the Palm Beach mayor, is now appointed to the head of safety and highway patrol. Is that right?
All of the voting department records, and therefore through the back door, he has access to all of our election records because they merged them. It's a horrific appointment. Gregory Tony was appointed to a vacancy in the Broward County Sheriff's Office. After he was appointed by Ron DeSantis, we learned that he had been investigated for murder and drug dealing in Philadelphia, but he never disclosed this to FDLE. The State Ethics Commission has said he broke the law. The FDLE investigation says he was, but Ron DeSantis refuses to fire him. Ron DeSantis cannot go to Long Island and say, I'm tough on crime. You appointed a drug dealing murderer sheriff of the largest sheriff's department in the state of Florida. Maybe this is the guy that Ron would appoint to head the FBI. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, what's one of the things that we've noticed over the last couple of months with all of the stuff that's coming out with DeSantis? It seems like we're finding a lot more middle ground with Democrats. And I thought that was that's been pretty interesting that I've had several instances come up. Linda, I know you've had a few as well over the last couple of weeks where it seems like, I want to say Democrats, these people weren't moderates, like legit Democrats coming to us and they're like, it has to be Donald Trump. They're trying to work against him. They're trying to put DeSantis. Like, people are waking up to this on the Democrat side. And it's interesting to see this middle ground being found on this topic.
Even the liberals in Miami. Today, I told you, Thomas Kennedy, who's a famous activist down here in Miami, he was posting about how, you know, DeSantis is a Jeb Bush protege. DeSantis is not a populist. And I texted her and I said, you know, our liberal comrade is doing PR for Donald Trump now. He has the same talking points. Thank you so much, Thomas. I love you.
What I love in all honesty is the way Nikki Fried kicks the crap out of Ron on Twitter. It's really great.
Yeah, she's good. It's really good. And the last question we have, Roger, is a lot of people are concerned over the entire voting situation. So their thing is like, okay, they stole it from him once, right? How is he going to be able to win?
Why do you think they wouldn't steal it from Ron DeSantis if he's the Republican nominee?
There you go. They'll install him.
Well, they might install. They might try to install him, in which case your government will be identical to as it is today. The policies of Ron DeSantis are actually, in most cases, the policies of this current administration. Yeah. Why do you think it would be different? Because he talks a better game. So I think that we have to concentrate on election reform in Georgia, where we have both houses of legislature. Correct. In Wisconsin, we have both houses of legislature. In Arizona, I don't think we will carry Pennsylvania in Michigan because we won't have a fair election. If we had a fair election, we'd carry both.
Yeah.
But recognize, I want to warn you about Election Day 2020, if it's Trump versus Biden. Don't try to go to the ATM to take out money that day because your bank will have failed. It's gone. Make sure you get to the gas station early to get a tank of gas to get to the polling place because the lines will be around the block and gas is going to be $12 a gallon. That's Joe Biden's America. In that circumstances, I think Donald Trump will win. Yeah. I think we do need some election reform, but he is so much better prepared for it. He never understood the extent to which these people would cheat.
Yep.
Because they're so desperate not to go to prison. And they're so desperate to keep their cozy little deal.
Right, and keep the established order that's been in line for quite some time.
Yeah.
Roger, I have a question for you. Between the last time that you were here, I know that you you dedicated some time on your Substack to talk about the Latino vote and how important it was going to be in 2024. And we wanted to talk to you a little bit about that and kind of how you see...
Yeah, this is, I mean, from a strategist's point of view, when you look at the overall at the electorate, the Hispanic vote in America is the is the only movable chess piece.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We will make some inroads among African Americans, which we have been doing. We don't need many to make a big difference. If we picked up 3% more than we get today, it would be a huge difference. But the place that you saw in 2022, where Republicans made gains, were among Hispanics. But here's the more important part. They made their gains among Hispanics who get their news in English. They did not make their gain among Hispanics who get their news in Spanish. That's because Telemundo
and
Univision Televisa. Did I say that right? Televisa. These left-wing companies, I mean, one of them is owned by NBC. They're just the CNN in Spanish. They're bullshit in Spanish.
Yeah.
And they feed.
But it's the only thing that exists.
Right. So right. So this is why Americano media, it becomes very important entering this marketplace. It is Spanish language truth. It's not
and Vos. Vos is going to be another one that actually we need to talk to. Vos just got bought out $68 million.
Yes.
All for conservative media for Latinos.
So a move we're very, to counter the acquisition counter, of George Soros right, with the right. AM radio station.
So, well, and look, so George Soros bought the Mambi station and the entire lineup at Mambi moved over to Americano Media where they're running huge numbers in the market. Now no one's listening to Mambo because it's all Mambi because it's all left-wing crap.
I would imagine that that was kind of the point, right? To break up that dynasty that has existed for such a long time.
That was
right.
a point. And because they hate Cubans, they have yeah. a personal, it's vendetta beyond politics. Well, there's a personal vendetta against Cuban Americans for traditionally and always voting Republican.
Yeah, well, but in all fairness, Republicans made gains not just among Cubans. They made gains among Colombians, Puerto Ricans. They made right. gains among Mexican Americans. They made gains among Salvadorans. Mm-hmm. They made gains among Hondurans. They made gains among Venezuelans. Many of these people have experienced socialism yeah. In their home countries. Mm-hmm. But these were substantial gains. And when there is more balanced Spanish language news coverage, which there will be in 2024, yeah. Republicans will do even better among Hispanic yeah. voters. And I think that is Donald Trump's potential edge.
Right. We're now headed to the end of our show. We're at the end of our show, but I wanted to ask you to plug in your stuff once again. We obviously want to support patriots who are being politically persecuted. That's the word. It's political persecution against your beliefs, and especially.
Actually, and I want to ask something. Asal, have you received any kind of friction from the right, like people within our side of the movement that have maybe? Yeah, I mean, have they opposed you in any way? I know that there's a lot of people that will maybe, you know, try to slander Roger that claim to be Republicans, and then they'll slander Roger. Have you seen that kind of opposition to your efforts coming from people on our side, or has it been predominantly supportive?
It's predominantly supportive, but there are people that are, one, do not like Roger or envious of Roger. So yeah. therefore, they'll be the same thing with me. It's the exact same
thing. Kind of seen an extension of that.
Yeah.
Roger, how do you deal with the haters? I think that's such a good question because yes. we get it all the time.
Yes.
We find that sometimes Republicans tend to be a lot angrier at us when we expose
truth. It's very, very dangerous to be me. Liberals like to try to confront me. And in the old days, I would just say, as we say in Italian, fangul. But I would never say that today. Now I say, you're so misguided, I'm going to pray for you. That makes them absolutely crazy. They like almost their heads explode.
Demon.
It's kind of like holding a cross up to a demon. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way to handle that. I mean, look, if you physically touch me, that would be a grave mistake on your part. And when people try to poke me or push me, unfortunately, I will defend myself, but I don't seek conflict. I don't seek violence, but I do want to know why you can't mind your own business while I'm trying to eat my plate of picadillo. You decide to come over and call me a Russian traitor. Not smart. Not smart.
Yeah.
No, we find that we deal with it all the time. So we're always looking for advice from one of the greats. Yeah, we know that you've seen it all. You've seen the political persecution before anybody else.
That's why we go to church on Sundays. We're God-fearing Catholics here. So
nice.
I don't wish ill will on anybody. I really...
No, we're going to join in for church.
The true holy wars.
We're joining for church one of these days.
Yeah,
We have forgiven those who've trespassed.
I'll go every Sunday.
We have forgiven those who've trespassed against. It's not easy. We have not forgotten what they've done. We've forgiven. There's a big difference. But I remember exactly who did it to me. And I believe, as they say in Hebrews 10, 30 through 31, vengeance is reserved for the Lord. God will take care of the bad guys, that's all true. Of them.
We've seen all every of them. Single time.
Every single time. So just put it in his hands.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Hope. She says, love your show. Find you guys through Real Femme Sapien. You guys should definitely try to get Whitney Webb for an interview. She does a lot of great investigative journalism into the Unit Party Global Elite.
Well, sounds like most our kind
definitely
of girl.
That really sounds like our type of girl, and we'll definitely reach out. Thank you, Hope, for being with us tonight. So where can our followers find you guys?
For me on Twitter and Instagram, it's at the Sal Greco. On Truth Social, it's at Head of the Table. On Rumble, same thing. It's the Sal Greco. And of course, the website is, if you want to support me and help me in this legal battle, it's helpthisnycop.com.
Nice. The best place to find me is at stonezone.com. If you want to learn something about history, shocking history, you go to my Substack, which is substack.rogerstone.com, I believe. You can also see me every day at 5 o'clock Eastern at stonezone.live, which shows on many platforms, on Rumble, not on YouTube where I'm still banned, not on Instagram where I'm still banned, not on TikTok where I'm still banned, which is really good because it means the red Chinese are not in my thumb. But you can see me on Rumble. You can see me on Twitter. You can see me on Telegram. Although the more I post on Telegram, the
follower the, just goes
the,
down.
The it's number happening one. To everybody. Yeah, it's happening to everybody.
Yeah, it's manipulated to bullshit. Yeah. You can certainly follow me on Truth Social, where I'm real Roger Stone. So every place else, I'm Roger J. Stone Jr., Roger J. Stone Jr. I think on Telegram, I'm Roger Stone Jr. because some squatter had my real name. I can't have it on True Social because some squatter has Roger what J. Stone Jr.
You so have pool, Roger. You should have demanded they gave you your name
so
back.
So I'm real Roger Stone. Donald Trump follows me.
I was going to say, whenever I type in real to type in real Donald Trump, Roger always comes in right after Trump. Okay, so good. It ends up working out.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Roger, thank you again for making the time.
We appreciate it. It's been an honor.
And thank you guys for being with us tonight. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. We'll have the audio form tomorrow morning. And also, shout out to our sponsor, Century H2O, under the water filtration system. Great Patriots out of Arizona. You can get your water filtration system at centuryh2o.com. You can use MPL 10 for 10% off, and it is under $300. Mm-hmm. So you don't convert into a gay frog, like Alex Jones says. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week.
Oh.